Cece Winans, best-selling, most awarded female gospel artist of all time.
Hi, everybody. It's Cece Winans, and you're listening to Bandkind.
She has that multiple pressed down, shaken together, overflowing kind of blessing from God in Grammy Awards, Dove Awards, Stellar Awards, Billboard Music Award, NAACP Awards. And in the last couple of years in downtown Atlanta, Black Music Entertainment Walk of Fame, Quincy Jones was the first honoree, Shirley Caesar, Bob Marley, Run DMC, Lil Wayne, and Cece Winans right there next to her brother. Amazing. She has 445 million US streams, 2 billion impressions on YouTube, Artist of the Year and Song of the Year with Believe For It. Hi, I'm Nick, and I'm here with the legendary Cece Winans. Welcome, girl. How are you?
I'm great. Glad to be with you.
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine. I know you're always a busy girl, but I'm looking at this spring and saying, you got a tour coming up. You got a conference coming up. You're releasing a new album. Are you ready for this?
Look, ready or not, here I come. Ready or not.
I love it.
But I am ready. I am ready. It sounds like everything's happening at one time because it's being released, you know, right in the midst of everything. But we got that finished. I'm so excited about it. You know, they just released our new single, That's My King. It's powerful. And I really think this whole record is just to remind us as the body of Christ, the authority that we have.
Amen.
Jesus saved us from the cross. You know, I think we forget who we serve sometimes. We forget who we belong to and what we carry. And understand that we serve the King of Kings and that he's our father. You understand you're a daughter of the King and you're a son of the King. And with that comes privileges and benefits and authority, you know. And I think this, so the new record, I'm excited about that. The Goodness Tour, I'm excited about that. You know, my least favorite thing about touring is the running around to different places. But every time, yeah, the older you get, it's like, oh, can I just do a tour from home? I work that out? You know, they got Zoom and everything. Can I just do that? And they're like, no, you can't do that. It's like, okay. So even though that's probably my least favorite thing to do, it's my favorite thing to see and to meet all of God's people who come out to worship God, the lives that God has allowed your music to touch, and also coming together with the people of God to worship God. There's just no greater experience to me. You know, every night his presence is so tangible, and you know that when praises go up, blessings come down. Amen. You know, so I'm expecting God to do the impossible in the lives of his people. You know,
look at you, daughter. That's true.
Yeah. I'm expecting
that's
it.
My king.
That's what he does. That's my king. That's what he wants to do. That's his heart. You know, and once we realize, and that's why I'm ready. When people say, "Are you ready to do all this?" I'm like, "Yes and no, but yes," because all I have to do is show up.
That is a loaded statement. You
know, yeah, that's all we have to do, and the pressure's off. A lot of times we put so much pressure on ourselves, guys, and God doesn't do it, it won't get done, right? But he's so faithful. He's always going to do it because that's what he wants. That's who he is. He wants to touch people. He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants people to get saved. He just needs us to show up.
Yeah. One thing I love about you on stage is how you bring what you just said to the night. And so, of course, you have an agenda. You have a set list. But really what you're going to do is you're going to be listening to the Lord as you're singing, and that's going to direct the night in a very individual way for every different town, every different city you go in.
So true. Every night is different. God knows the need of the room. Oof. You know, he knows who's come. He already knows everybody that's going to fill every seat. He already knows those people. And You understand that. You understand, Lord, my prayer is just don't let me get in the way.
Amen. Amen.
You know, but coming in, like you said, listening to what he wants me to say, what he wants me to sing, listening to give him space, because so many times we'll rush into something else and the Lord is, no.
Oh, this worked last night. Let's do it.
Right. And it's like, no, it's totally different.
Yeah.
Sit right here, you know? And so, like you said, every night is a different purpose. It's a different agenda that he has. Mm-hmm. And our job is just to stick with him, is to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I am, I've always been so impressed with you. I mean, the very first time that I heard any of your music, I was just like, what is this? I gotta have more of this. It was 1997, I Owe You Me. And 1988, Meantime, I was like, oh, this one right here. I mean, I was hooked.
And, yes.
Such great music. And then Addictive Love, of course. Mm-hmm. And reading your book, Believe For It, which is really based on the title of that song, Song of the Year, mm-hmm. Artist of the Year. I mean, just it has impacted so many people. A remarkable book about family, about starting Nashville Life Church and Heart for Generations. She has a Generations Conference coming up this spring. I'm reading through this and I'm seeing the Winans family. I'm seeing your parents. I'm seeing a really unique upbringing. I feel like you recognize that it was unique in the fact that they were together, that they were in a committed marriage, that they were obviously in a household that was overwhelmed with personalities and love and antics and the whole nine, right?
Right.
And so much of the singing that you talk about was really just born out of a love for God. And you're doing this around the house as you're growing up. And so by the time I encounter you in the 80s, I'm just not knowing any of that. So it's taken all this time, CC, for me to understand in this book that the heritage that you come from.
Such a rich heritage. And you say, I recognize it now. Oh, growing up in it, you don't recognize that it's something unique. You don't recognize that it's a God-ordained plan for you and your siblings. You don't recognize that. It's the beauty in getting older and being able to look back and say, oh my God, you know, like you said, my parents, they were kids when they got married, 17 and 19, but they said, we're going to do this God's way, you know, even though they both came from broken homes. And so they just changed the generations. They changed the trajectory of our lives by their commitment.
Yeah.
You know, to God and to one another. And then they were both singers and they saw us, they knew our gifts and our talents, and they were determined that we were going to use them for the Lord, you know? So even as kids, I don't want to sing. Well, I didn't ask you if you wanted to sing or not.
You're going to do it.
You're going to do it, and you're going to do it well.
Yes. Amen.
And you just think, oh, it's just our parents. But no, right. God knew what he knew about today. You understand what I'm saying? Even with them not knowing exactly. But that's why it's so beautiful to have people who are older than you in your life guiding you, getting wisdom from them, being willing to submit. Young people, you don't know everything. Trust me, you don't. But God has put somebody in your life that you need to listen to. So they saw what was in us, and they literally trained us up in the way we should go. Yes, they trained us in the Lord, but they also saw our gifts and our talents.
Yeah.
So I can't thank God enough for the older generation, because I am here today, not just singing, but I'm strong in my faith because I saw the faithful. I saw faithful people living it out, you know?
One of the special things, you know, me as a mother, you as a grandmother too, one of the special things I saw about your parents in the way that you respected them and you really honored them. I mean, you're still honoring them in this word that you've written here, but the way that you would receive them when they said, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
Oh, unbelievable.
That's a tough
Another thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it marked my life. It marked my life. It taught me that no matter who you are, when you live in a posture of humility. And my father he probably didn't even realize what, maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But again, the beauty in them just living out the word, even in bad times, even when you've made a mistake, to be humble enough as a parent to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. It kept my vision of God in the right way. Because those of us who represent God, we have to understand we represent God. We don't get a chance not to do that, even when we make a mistake. The word teaches us how to say, I'm sorry, how to ask for forgiveness, how to humble ourselves, how to be able
continue
to
wash the word.
To wash the word. It's walking out the word in every, and that's what my parents did. I saw them. We didn't grow up with a silver spoon in our mouths. We had to pray for, you know, our provision and things to be met. My father worked probably about 3 or 4 jobs. My mom cooked, cleaned, and worked outside of the home. So we saw them work this thing out in the word of God in action. Yeah. And I'm just so grateful that I grew up with truth. Mm. But with that blessing comes a great responsibility. I can't sit down and act like I don't know what's right. And I can't be silent when it's time for me to pour into those who are coming after me. Right. You understand what I'm saying? So with that great blessing, he didn't bless me just to be blessed, but he blessed me to be a blessing.
And as a church planter, you are pouring into a generation that doesn't have what you had, and you're helping them navigate a world. It's like that next generation that you're bringing up. They're not your kids, but they are spiritually people that you can show truth to. And I don't know how on earth you can reach in to so many lives. I feel like the hurt is overwhelming in these days. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like you said, God has to do the work, because by ourselves, we can't.
No, we can't.
It's overwhelming.
Definitely. The Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. You know, it's easy for your heart to be troubled when you see what's going on in the news, or you know what your kids have to face, or what's happening. You know, the only way your heart is not going to be troubled is that you know who your king is, who you have to really know him. You can't just know of him. You have to have knowing that God's got me. You know, even when people used to ask me, you know, how did you make it through the pandemic? I was like, I made it through the pandemic the way I make it through every day. You know what I'm saying? And that is, God, I don't know what's going to happen, but you do. So I rest in his sovereignty. I rest in his power. I rest in his love. And it's only when we think that we have anything else to do with it is when the fear comes.
Wow.
Is when anxiety comes, is when I don't know how comes, you know? Yeah. It's like, I don't know how, and it's okay because God knows how. That's how you live in peace. Oof. You don't live in peace because you're in control. You live in peace because you know the one who is in control.
That reminds me of a lyric from That's My King. I'm not going to let the rocks cry out without joining the chorus. Amen.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All of it, you know, all of it. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of trusting who he is. Yeah. You know, it's a lifestyle.
And when you don't trust, wrestling with that. And getting back to trust.
Got to get back to it. Yeah. Got to get back to it. And that's the beauty. That's the grace of God. You know, we're all going to make mistakes, but you don't live in a mistake. You got to get up. You got to get up and you just got to, and all you have to do is remember what he told you last and just be obedient. It's walking it out every day. Mm. You know, it's walking it out every day. You know, people ask me, well, how you handle success? Walking it out every day. Cause you know what? I don't care how successful I'm on the mountain today. Guess what? The valley's coming somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's just a part of life. Mm-hmm. I read something the other day by Rick Warren. He was saying how he learned people say that you have good seasons or in bad seasons. And he was like, no, actually, they both work together. How
Wow.
he was receiving all of the incredible things that his Purpose Driven Life book
yeah.
was having at the time. And at the same time, he found out his wife, Kate, had cancer, you know. And it's like we don't see, but we walk through good and bad times at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that I'm from the mountain territory out in Montana and about halfway up the mountain, you know, and I realized when I was there visiting my family, that's our heritage is, you know, growing up on tribal lands out there with teepee rings and buffalo wallows, just like wild, wild west, you know? And I realized one day, it was just like God poured into me. He said, you know what, when we're on the mountaintop, we might be able to see, but it's the fresh spring water that is down in the valley. And it's, you know, and I was, my husband and I were reading in Psalm 84, you know, about the refreshment that's there in the times of weeping. And I thought, wow, this is changing my mind about the valley. You know, the valley is where the life is.
About them, it's so many beautiful things that happen in the valley, and that just shows us the goodness of God, right?
Amen.
There's never a season that He's not good.
Yes, right.
There's
right.
never a season that He's not good. Isn't
Amen.
That beautiful?
Amen. That is beautiful. I love how you're not only doing the intergenerational thing with Nashville Life Church, but also writing with Mitch Wong, Believe For It, and how you wrote that third chorus, which Mitch thinks is the most beautiful part of the song, and how you recorded
amazing.
With Lauren Daigle, and how you did a song with For King and Country. I mean, you are walking this.
Well, He's a God of every generation, right? And you learn as the older you get that we're better together. We're better together. That's why the enemy loves to put children against parents and parents against kids. And because he understands the power when we come together, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same, you know, being able to sing with all these younger people who are coming up after me. It's a beautiful thing, you know. I get to cheer them on. People cheered me on. So I get to cheer them on. You know, I'm here because of Andre Crouch. So
I was going to ask you, what was it like to sing as Andre Crouch is playing the piano and you're just singing
goodness.
Along?
It was amazing because I grew up on him and I did my first background session doing handwriting on the wall, you know, and it was just like, wow. And God just showed me there's nothing impossible for me. Do more than you will even ask me to do. I'm just glad that I fell in love with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Because
Amen.
When you fall in love with Him, then like we said, no matter what season you're in, you're following Him and He's showing you more of Himself, you know? And so to be able to live out, like you said, with the generations intertwining, it's just a beautiful thing because it shows His faithfulness. The same God who was powerful way back then is still powerful today. You know, when I sit down and talk to wonderful people like yourself, I'm encouraged because I understand that God has this generation. He had this generation in mind before the beginning of time, you know? And so we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be anxious. We just have to be obedient.
Amen.
We have to continue to build on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. And God is raising up an army for this generation, for my grandkids' generation. They're going to be fine.
Yeah.
They're going to be fine.
Ooh.
We just have to continue to be who God has called us to be.
Amen. We were talking about the power of music and the power of generations. And the last time I saw you, you were on tour and it was amazing time to worship with you and with the crowd backstage. I had told you this little story about Shirley Caesar, how I think I was one of two white people that went to a gospel conference. And I was there with actually one of your relatives, Lisa
Lisa.
Timmy. Yeah,
okay, yes,
Lisa. You see
Timmy,
her on the
yes.
wall here out of Eden. Yes.
That's right.
I
I
was
love
there
Bill.
with Lisa, and I was there with a hip hop group called Grits. We were walking, and Grits had seen Shirley Caesar get exclusive access to the Expo Center because there were some hats in there she wanted to see. And so they were like, "Can you sneak us in? Can you sneak us in?" I'm like, I'm not going to be that white girl that sneaks a hip hop group in to see Shirley
I
Caesar.
Stand out here. I'm standing out here.
And literally, we somehow ended up in there. She grabbed me up. And as I told you, she kissed me right here. And then she preached a sermon to 8 of us standing there. And that hip hop group, Grits, was just beside themselves. And that's the generation. I'm like, you guys do hip hop. Like Shirley Caesar, what? They could not get over themselves that they had met her and had the chance to just look upon her because of her musical legacy. And and you have such a musical legacy. And I was watching this video of you and BB singing with a longtime friend of yours, Whitney Houston.
Yes.
And your brother sang first and then you sang. And as soon as you started singing, Whitney just lit up. You know, she was just like, so it was just so special. The places that God has brought you.
Just so special. And she meant that too. You know,
yes.
She just was so moved and blessed and I was just blown away by it, you know, to meet somebody that had accomplished what she had accomplished, to have a voice that only God could give her.
Amen. Yeah.
But yet was so open and so supporting of those who are around her. She was a very special person. I miss her to this day.
You are a very special person.
Oh, thank you.
What was it like for you the first time you saw your name on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in a star?
Forget about when I saw it, when they told me I was going to have it. I'm like, what? What? Bibi and I, we just couldn't believe it, you know?
Yeah.
One of those things that God blessed you with that you didn't even pray for, you know, it's just what?
I know it's like a pressed down, shaken, running what? Over, all supplied by Jehovah Jireh, the supernatural supervisor. You know that song?
All of that. I love it. Yes, all of that. It was just everything. And it was everything because God took our gifts and allowed us to worship him through our gifts into a place where the world, you know, embraced it, you know, and wherever our name goes, I pray that people automatically think of him, you know. I love the prayer of Jabez when he said, "Bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, keep your hand with me and keep me from evil." He enlarges our territory and he allows our influence to grow for his glory.
Wow.
So I felt tremendously honored, but I felt so humbled at the same time. It was like, God, you use it for your glory, you know? So when people after me will see, wow, if he did it for her, if he did it for BB, he can do it for me too. Yeah. So it meant a lot. It really did.
No doubt.
It meant a lot. And I remember that weekend, there was a wonderful couple in LA and they wanted to pray for me and they prayed for me and he gave a prophetic word. I'm going to share this with you. It was a powerful word. He said, even today, with you getting the star, God wants you to know that he's not finished with you. He said, but there's a group of young people coming after you that you're going to impart to. He said, and your ceiling will be their floor. So he's going to do way more for those who are coming after you than he's done in your life. And I was just like, yes.
Wow.
Yes. So when I get a chance to sing with the Lauren Daigles, you know, I am there to cheer her on. I want her to way more than she can even imagine, you know, and I believe God is going to do it. He's going to do great because he never just repeats himself. He always does more, you know, and that was the prophetic word I got when I got that Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Amen.
Amen.
How does that apply to your generations conference and how you speak into people?
Wow. I remember a wonderful man of God. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, Miles Monroe. He said one of the richest pieces of land is the cemetery. He said, because there's so many people who have left here without fulfilling. Without fulfilling their dreams, without accomplishing all that God has called you to accomplish. And I never forget the sermon he preached. He said, everybody, your goal should be to die empty. And so when you ask me about the conferences, my concert, whatever I'm doing, my goal is to die empty. I've got to pour out everything that older generation poured into me before I leave the scene, you know, or else I'm carrying what God gave me to give to somebody else to the grave. So when I'm standing before people at the conference, my prayers, Lord, just pour into them. Help me to strengthen them. Help me to encourage them. Help them to understand the value that they carry. You know, help them to be totally whole. Let their emotions, their mental health. I mean, God comes to heal everything, you know, but we got to give them everything. We got to give them everything. And so my goal is to teach the truth, because the truth will set you free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. I don't care what we're facing today. I don't care what's going on. The Word of God still has all power. It still works. God is not nervous. He's already worked it out for us. We just got to line up with him. Amen. There's no compromise in him, you know? And so when I stand before people, first of all, I realize I got to stand before God one day. So I don't come to play. I don't come to give you fluff. I come to say what thus saith the Lord, because I have to stand before God one day and give an account for every conference, for every concert, for everything I said. So I don't play with that, you know, and I understand that lives are in the balance. They're literally in the balance. God has trusted me with lives, with hearts, with babies to help mold and to shape them, that will help them and to accomplish what he's called them to do. So it's fun. It's an honor, but it's a serious responsibility.
No doubt. No doubt. Well, I bless you, and I'm so excited for this next year, and I'm so excited for the people who are going to encounter the messages that God is flowing through your voice, your song, through your heart. I pray energy over you and strength
Thank
for
you.
Your voice goodness from God.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Do you sing?
I don't.
You don't. Okay.
I can, but my daughter does.
You sound like, I mean, of course you have the voice, but I just wondered if you sing.
Oh, you know, you were talking about shepherd. That's my king. God is our shepherd.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of years herding sheep. And I'll tell you, I did nothing but sang out there on that field. Yeah, singing to God. And God met me there as a shepherd. He met me, the shepherd. It was powerful.
That is the best. Well, I enjoy so much talking to you, and I hope to see you soon.
Yes, you too, Cece. Bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. You got it. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.